opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. It's Friday, the 5th of June, 7:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage, your health, your choice, all at Shasta Regional Medical Center. So, good morning. Phone lines here, 605-4567, Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment, but I'm here with the man, Jared.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what's the weather look like?
Well, it is currently 71 degrees. It's going to be sunny today with a high of 88, a low of 57. Tomorrow, we have a slight chance of thunderstorms with a high of 73, a low of 48. On Sunday, we have a slight chance of showers during the day with a high of 71, a low of 48. And on Monday, it's going to be sunny with a high of 80 and a low of 54.
Okay. So looks like we may have rain over the weekend again, as we did last week. The weather report's brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane down in Anderson, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. We're going to be joined by Sheriff Eric McGreeny later on here in a few minutes, and then Congressman Doug LaMalfa at 8 o'clock. And I asked the sheriff to come on because of an article that was written in a news cafe by a young lady who when she was interviewing people that were at the protest Tuesday, there were, I mean, two distinct sides here, maybe three or four. One of them was they were there to protect the safety of everybody in the sanctity of the town. No problems. Both sides got along great. But during the interview, or during her piece that she wrote, she mentioned several times that these people had been invited by the sheriff to be there. And so I reached out to the sheriff, who, as you can probably imagine, was getting phone calls. And the sheriff's going to be on to address that. And so what did happen from his perspective? We've already heard from the chief of police, and we'll hear from Sheriff McGreeny. We have an update. We have two more cases of COVID here in Shasta County. What else? Do you have an update on all of that, Jared?
Well, like you said, we got two more cases, so we're at 42. Looks like it was a woman in her 70s and a man also in his 70s. They're both isolating at home.
Okay. Is that it?
That is it for the for here locally.
Okay. Do you have more?
Depends on what you want to know. In California, we have 122,935 confirmed cases.
Mm-hmm.
We had 69 deaths yesterday in the state. Worldwide, we're at 6,737,000 cases with 393,000 deaths and 3.2 million recovered.
Yeah, this is, you know, the COVID is still here. They're still not allowing businesses to open, even though the businesses are kind of starting to ignore it by saying, you know, you're not going to enforce it. Why don't we just open? I'm surprised churches and more churches aren't opening. Businesses, you're seeing, you know, they're trying to use the social distancing. That should last probably another week before they realize it. Nobody else is social distancing. We have rodeos, we have protests, we have all types of different events that people are going to now. So it's just a matter of time. The way that Minneapolis has decided to handle what happened to George Floyd is several members of their city council want to dismantle the police department. They say the police department is just lost. It's too broke to fix. We need to dismantle the police department and put it back together. so that you have a community policing concept. You have social workers and mental health people going to calls instead of police. It's not clear what it's going to look like at the end of this. I'm wondering if you dismantle the police department, how you do that. Do you take, from the top down, the police chief's finished. But do you do it from the top down where you bring in people on how do you handle crime in a large city except arrest and incarcerate? Well, there's other ways they're saying you can do this. I can imagine the no bail. I can see the no bail coming in. I see a number of things happening like that. In L.A., the mayor has said he's cutting, $1.5 million from the police budget there. They were due to get a raise or to have a bigger budget this year. Well, he cut all of that out to try to, as he puts it, to find new methods. I find this really interesting. I find this, if you've got a, L.A. is not, to do a social experiment with the police, it'll be interesting, and I'm not saying it won't work, we have our officers trained to tamp down the situation, to pull back a little bit, to find new ways to kind of de-escalate the situation. But and we also have mental health professionals are out. Is this something where you just don't see police at all, and they're kind of like down the block, and you send in a mental health professional into a situation where police have used to go? How will that work? And this is going to take a while. But is it a time to relook at how some police units or police forces handle their job? I thought it was kind of like always going on. I thought it was constantly being looked at. And when you have a town like Minneapolis, a city like Minneapolis, and you have something like this happen, and you go back and you find the same guy's been arrested many times. Well, or not arrested, I shouldn't say that, but there's been complaints. But complaints are just that. That they, if you get a complaint, it doesn't mean it's true. And that's why the investigation goes on. So, anyway, we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to be right back after these messages with Sheriff Eric McGreeny.
Let's see, coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Welcome back to B5 Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Call Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. 605-4567 is our phone number. And we are streaming live throughout the world the 5th of June, 7:17 in the morning here. 71 degrees going up to around 90 today. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Judy Maxwell is there. And on her ad, she says, you know, you can plan for things, but what about things that come along that you don't, you know, that you don't plan for? How about things like fires? How about things like COVID-19? Things like this. Let Judy Maxwell work with you and help you. She will have, you know, she will cover all your insurance needs, and her financial branch of her office will help you with keeping your finances stable. All of this under Maxwell Insurance and Financial, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. She's been doing this, helping people and veterans, and seniors, business owners in Reading and the surrounding area since 1993. Give them a call, 221-0441. With me is Sheriff Eric McGreeny.
Morning.
And, you know,
Happy Friday.
I asked the sheriff, called him, late yesterday and said, hey, you want to come on and talk about, you know, the event on Tuesday, the protest on Tuesday. There have been rumors, and let's just get this out here right now.
Yeah.
There have been from a reporter there that talked to people, and she quoted people, as did a couple others, is that the sheriff invited us. The sheriff wanted us there to back them up, and that that's what they did. And we also need to separate two groups of people out of this this group. You know, some people call them the others. Some people call them counter protesters. They were there also. So, did you invite anybody in here to do the backup?
Yeah. So I did not invite anybody to come to town to participate in this protest. No groups. You know, I've been contacted. We, the law enforcement community, have been contacted by several groups. I'm not in the business of discouraging anybody to come and express their views or opinions and to peacefully gather. And whether it be a protest, whether it be a call to action of support, whatever that be, that's not our place. That's not our place. It's a First Amendment right to freedom of assembly, freedom of speech. And my place is to allow people to have that ability to do that. At no way did I invite anybody to come up to sequester anything, to stop anything. Our office was contacted the day before by a group. Our individual came into the front office at our Park Marina main office and wanted to put us or allow us give advisement, I guess, if you will, that they were going to be here in town. I do not know who that individual is. He left his name and said he was part of the North State Militia. I personally did not call him back. I had one of our staff call him back, and his message was clearly, we are going to be here. We are in support of law enforcement, and we are here just to protect our community. There was no call to action. There was no anything such of that nature. Other groups called, hey, we're here to support you. I had retired law enforcement call several members. Hey, because there's this fear that there was people that might come from out of the area that weren't part
and
of
there were
this peaceful.
That.
Oh, there were. We got an intel report from the state. That there was this bus. Mm-hmm. I never saw it, but there was this bus that was in town that it, even CHP called us and said it had gone through the I call it the bug station, whatever that is up there in the north part of the state. You come in where they the fruit inspection, and it had passed through and was headed south on I-5. So there was that fear, and there was a lot of people that wanted to come out to be supportive. And I appreciate that. We want people that I'm glad that there's people who want to protect our community.
Right.
And protect the ability for people to gather and have a peaceful protest, which is exactly what was done. So to me, it was a very positive evening. That was a long day. That Tuesday, that was a long day. We had the Board of Supervisors meeting where there's supposed to be a big protest. That ended up being a very productive Board of Supervisors meeting where people came in, were able to express.
Well, they were able to come into the chambers, which is not a rocket scientist type of way of figuring that out. And why it didn't happen before that it's amazing to me. But the city council still hasn't figured it out. I guess they're not as smart as the Board of Supervisors. Yeah, let me just throw that out there. You know, I had Mike DeQuisto on. He said there's no reason we can't have people in there. And so he brought it up at the last vote and 4-1 against it, that they need to look at and study it, and it's going to be in July. You know, people, just open up the back of the dam chamber. Let somebody, let people talk on a microphone that's back there. You know, anyway.
And so, and then we had, during that board meeting, I got the call that one of our officers had been involved in a shooting down in Cottonwood. Mm-hmm. So we dealt with that day. I had the support of Reading Police Department, support of different community members calling to check on the welfare of our officers. So, this community, we have the whole Back the Blue movement here in Shasta County. This community remains supportive of their law enforcement. We appreciate that. But I want to also speak to here today. We support our community, the sheriff's office. I know working with the chiefs of police, we support our community.
Mm-hmm.
We want to move forward. We want to be cognizant of what's going on and the matters that are affecting this community. And I think that's done through effective communication, by being out in the community, by conversing with people, by talking, by getting the feel and not isolating and bunkering down, but by getting out and being progressive. We're having another meeting today where we're going to talk with different groups and look at how do we move forward. How do we do things better? Because we can always, not that we're doing things wrong, but we can always do things better. If we don't move forward, if we stop learning, if we stop progressing, then we become ignorant. And that's when things aren't good. So we always have to be, how can we do things better? Was that effective communication? Is that meeting with different groups and hearing their needs or their whatever their not fears or
concerns.
That's a good word. Whatever their concerns are, and then how do we address those unified?
Well, I've been being called a bleeding liberal, bleeding heart liberal lately.
You?
Yes.
Not
to my face. And even if you did to my face, so what? I don't have. I don't get affected very much by what people say to me about me. But going on, it's not about me. What I said is that obviously that the system needs to be changed. And I don't see Reading as a microcosm. I don't see Reading as a microcosm of Minneapolis or Detroit or that, for a variety of reasons. But there are better ways of doing things. And, you know, that how do you address these? Do people of color feel fear in our city here? I don't know. We're having some people on this coming week to discuss that. But the bottom line, I think, on this is, yeah, there's always a better way of doing something. Minneapolis, many members of their city council are talking about dismantling the police department and bringing in, you know, a new way of doing things. Well, there's always a good way of doing that, and I mean maybe a better way of doing things, but to dismantle the police department is going to be interesting to see how they would do that.
I think it was Seattle that was talking about taking away the less lethal tools, such things as tear gas or pepper spray or things of that nature. We don't come to work. The sheriff's office, the law enforcement community does not come to work looking to how to use these tools, looking for a fight. That's the last thing we want. We're peace officers. I like using the word peace officers instead of police. Because that's what we're held to do, to keep law and order, to keep peace, protect our community, protect our citizens. So, taking away some of those tools, though, are de-escalation techniques. And we give our staff, we send them, we call it verbal judo. It's a way to communicate, to try to talk situations down to, and then we send, the de-escalation training that's come out, we're sending officers and doing training on de-escalation. So there's always new things that have come out because of incidents that have happened. It produces new training ideas, new concepts, new training tools. And we look at those and we try to implement them the best we can so that we can be effective and we can serve this community with pride and excellence, and we can work together. So, you know, and that's what I want to look towards. Is if there's any takeaway from all of this, is it's my call to action would be, let's all get back together. I mean, we saw that after the car fire. This community came together. I mean, no one can argue that. This community came together. We had neighbors taking each other in, housing people who have been displaced, who have been evacuated. There was a large outpouring of support for first responders, for law enforcement, for fire, for the National Guard who were here to help. With roadblocks, things of that nature. That was, you know, it was an unfortunate situation. It was horrible for some people that lost everything, but I think our community came out of that better. And so I would like to see from something like this, our community come out of this better.
I'm circling back because there's some questions in here. Can the sheriff, if you want to, I mean, you can deputize people.
Yeah, that's kind of an old thing, you know, that whole posse comitatus. Yeah. Yes, that can happen.
But you can, I mean, like the Asphalt Cowboys, that's kind of a group that if you called them to service to do for things like, feeding people that.
And we've done that.
Could you call?
We have our search and rescue groups that we call.
Yeah.
Our trackers, our we have mountain monkeys. We have all these different groups. That are groups that we call.
That's
for
the name of the group. The
Mountain Monkeys. They're awesome. They do rappelling. They do rope work. We have our dirt riders. We have our mountain bikers. We have our jeepers. We have our man trackers. We have all these different groups, and these are all groups that we work with that are volunteers for the sheriff's office that are force multipliers for us, so that we can go out and they have a specific skill set. So these are all groups that are great that we can call on to help. We have our community watch groups, our neighborhood watch groups, our citizen volunteer patrol that are our eyes and ears. We embrace those people because we are understaffed. There's no secret there. So they're out in the community being the eyes and ears and reporting back. And there's nothing wrong with embracing those groups that are there to serve law enforcement, to keep their community safe, and to work to help keep everyone and doing it right. You know, we're not in no way, shape, or form ever would I embrace any kind of vigilante group, do any call to arms to, as you said, deputize somebody or call somebody. And there's specific training that goes in. Our deputies are very well trained, they're very well equipped, and I trust their abilities to go out and effectively serve. But if there's other groups that want to come in to be the eyes and ears, like our neighborhood watch groups or community watch groups or volunteer patrol groups, absolutely. Those are important parts of our community, and the sheriff and myself, I would go meet with those. I have a meeting. I got a meeting invite for a community up in Igo. They're wanting to put together a community watch group. And we're going to go meet with them. We have a gentleman, Arnie Britton, who's worked with us for 40 years, establishing these groups, going out, educating them, training them on what's right and wrong and how to be effective and work within the confines of the law. So,
okay. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Terry and Chris, you'll be our people up for questions for the sheriff. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. It is a locally owned, locally managed bank here with the local board of directors, two locations right here in Redding at 1845 California Street and at the O'Reilly Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue. I can tell you they really stood up when the CV-19 first hit and the Paycheck Protection Program helped so many businesses, saved so many businesses, and not only just the ones that are their clients, but other people in our town, other businesses in our town, because they are so community-oriented. Through all of this, they were still moving local dreams forward. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com, Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back with Sheriff Eric McGrinney, and I will, after our callers, I've got other questions coming in here that we will address.
Okay.
I feel tears welling up cold and deep inside, like my heart's from a big break. In a stab of loneliness, sharp and painful, that I may never say. You might say that I was taking it hard since you wrote me off with a call. But don't you wager that I'll hide in sorrow when I may lay right down and fall.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch, located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The View, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number, and this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Alliance Heating and Air. It's only going to be in the low 90s today as opposed to the high 90s and 100 as it's been earlier this week, but it's going to get hot. Alliance Heating and Air, been in the business over 25 years, been voted best in the North State. And I just will tell you, I called them on Tuesday and said that we're not having cold air come out of our air conditioner. They came over 30 minutes later, we're gone, fixed it. And it works better now than it ever has, all in like in a 30-minute period. Give them a call at 221-2642 or learn more at their website, homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. I'm here with Sheriff Eric McGreeny here at 7:36 in the morning. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, you guys. And I've got some positive things here I want to share, and I think that the sheriff is right. We need to start looking at solutions, and I have that. First of all, I want to give kudos to the police department in Reading. As everybody knows, they were out there hugging the protesters. And at the end, I believe it was Officer McAllister who hugged the protester. And we even kept all those segments that were shown on the news. I think that how do you possibly enforce social distancing when you have your police officers hugging protesters and walking arm in arm?
Yeah, guilty.
It's ridiculous, isn't it, brother? Okay, so the thing is that city council, get a grip, or let's get rid of them. I mean, sorry to say it, but it's just terrible. The Board of Supervisors at least is letting people in. They should be doing more than that. The county needs to open up. The other thing is, too, is that, and I'm just going to tell you this, Sheriff McGreeny, my background is a couple of us got together at a place called the Ranch Room and had a beer back in the early 80s, and we thought about getting gas stations to carry different items, making them convenience stores. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Dean, who you probably both know, I've known Bruce for well over 30 years, was one of my first customers. He had a store called Sports and Spirits, one called Sports and Spirits in Wairika, and they were some of our first customers that did this. We go back a long way. I found a solution with real money in the county for you, sir, to get three deputies, and it's there.
Fantastic.
So I don't know how to bring that to the Board of Supervisors or bring it to your attention, but the money's there.
Okay. I'd love to hear any funding sources. I will never turn down money.
Yeah, but call him at the interstate.
Give me a call, and I'll be happy to talk to you.
I will. And we need those three deputies. I mean, there's no question about it. We need to get more deputies. So the money's there, and I'll give you a call, and we can discuss it. If I can get in front of them, I can show them the numbers. It's there.
Awesome. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Terry. Okay. Let's go to Chris. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, Chris. You're on.
Hi. So I have two questions for the sheriff. Then I'll let him answer, please. first of all, if you didn't ask the militia, Cottonwood Militia, to show up, did you make it clear to them they were not to take any action? The public was certainly made to think the protesters would be violent, and the protesters certainly got the idea they weren't to do anything they shouldn't. And the other question is, RPD allowed the militia to walk behind them while the protesters, who were peaceful, were made to walk ahead of RPD. Now, doesn't that make it look like the protesters are troublemakers and the militia is the good guy? I'll listen for your answer. Thanks. Good to talk to you, Carl.
Okay. Thank you very much. Chris.
Thank you, Chris. So, yeah, I wasn't out there, so I don't know who was positioned or walking where. So there were a lot of groups present, and I would say to any group that contacted me, and I think I could speak for all of law enforcement here in Shasta County as the sheriff, we would never, ever condone, support, or any kind of vigilante group or action. We stand for, as leaders, we need to find solutions. We need to work towards peace. And so we, if contacted, all we're going to ask is that you be peaceful and be respectful of each other. There's nothing. What makes this country great is our ability to gather, to have, express our opinions, to have a different view. If we all have, if we all group think and align in our thoughts, that's dangerous, in my opinion. We need to have the ability to free think and to express that, but to do it peacefully. And I think that was, from what I saw, that was done. And the comment on Reading Police Department, they did a fantastic job that night. I did see them walking arm in arm. And when that officer, I think it was Mark Montgomery, Officer Montgomery, when he broke out and walked into the group and formed, got everybody unified, and that was a great ending to a night that went well, in my opinion. There was no destruction of property. There was no violence. There was no – it went well. I applaud our community and the citizens for how they all reacted, how they all handled each other. And at the end, everyone went home. Voices were heard. Points were made. And hopefully people felt good about participating in that event. I know there's events that are coming up. I think there's one tonight. I thought I heard that, and maybe something even tomorrow at the park. And those, again, I think we are embracing those as a community. And the call to action is that, is to respect one another and be peaceful and make your points and your voices heard. And through those, hopefully we can take some notes, we can be cognizant of what the issues are, and then work to make our community better. So,
okay, let's go to the phones. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I saw on social media where Klamath Falls turned a bus around Black Lives Matter and pointed it towards Reading. I heard that Antifa was in town. Do you have any reports of that bus showing up here, rebel rousers like Black Lives Matters or Antifa or anything like that?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not going to label any groups as rebel rousers. We did get reports of this bus. We did hear about that in Klamath Falls. We did some follow-up that there was this bus up there and that it had left the community after they were asked to leave. How that went, took place, I don't know. But we did get reports of that bus coming south. There were some social media posts. I did see them. I was shown them where there was a call to action by Antifa and others to show up to these protests and to turn them violent. And that was our concern, was not for our citizens. We have responsible citizens. They've proven that time and time again. They proved that.
Was Reading specifically pointed out, go to Reading, raise hell?
I saw that, but again, it's social media, so it was on the internet,
well,
so
thanks,
it must
buddy.
Be true.
That's
but,
what I wanted to
yeah.
know.
But, yeah, we did hear that. We did see that. The validity of it, you know, obviously it wasn't true, which I'm glad to say it wasn't, but it still doesn't mean you don't prepare for the worst and hope for the best. And I'm elated that none of that actually took place, and that we had a peaceful demonstration on Tuesday night, and I know there's some other demonstrations, and I hope those remain and are conducted in the same way.
Well, you can remember one thing. With all the CCWs in Shasta County, we got your back. Have a great day.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate, you know, and I hate spending or playing into the negative because there's so much positive that's out there, and I know I'm sometimes an optimist, and maybe too much so. I try not to be naive, but the overwhelming support that we've been given, that law enforcement continues to receive here in Shasta County, has been fantastic. And we are committed to working with our community, and I look forward to what can come of this.
And we're going to take a break, and let me just read this last comment from Jimmy. And why are people whinging about all this? It was a peaceful protest, and nothing happened.
That needs to be the takeaway.
But still, people want to complain about it. Get a grip. You know what? You know what? I don't care if, you know, frankly, I don't care if Antifa showed up and the Boogaloos showed up from the other side. Well, that's a supposedly a white neo-Nazi extremist, or, you know, far right wing. I don't care if they showed up and if there's no violence and they were able to get together and there's no violence and everybody expressed their opinions and walked off afterwards.
Yep.
Guess what? I don't care as long as it's peaceful.
Exactly.
But when you get reports of different sides coming in, you've got to plan for those. So let's take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Craftmaster Windshield Repair. Jeff Wurst, a better-known business here, has been doing this for over a quarter of a century. He is a worksman from the old school. He knows how to fix windshields, whether it's a little bitty chip or a crack over 2.5 feet in length. He can do that. There's no practicing with him. He knows what he's doing. Man of integrity, he won't waste your money, and he guarantees his work for life. You will not be disappointed. Crackmaster Windshield Repair is located at 3208 South Market Street, or give them a call at 241-8373 for an appointment today. We'll be right back with Sheriff Eric McGrinney, 7:46 in the morning here on the 5th of June.
Get your morning update with us,
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
By radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-456-7750 in the morning, 73 degrees out there, going up to around 90 today here on the 5th of June. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, the only watch repairman in Reading, right there at Four Winds Jewelry at 2225 Hilltop Drive. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Good people. Linda loves spending time in Four Winds Jewelry. I'm here with Sheriff Eric McGreeny, and you're issuing CCWs again.
We are. Now, I got to laugh. What people don't get to do when they're in the studios, they don't get to see you over here rocking out to the lead-in music, and it just brings a smile to my face. So, yeah, switching gears. So we're back, kind of a soft opening. It was a huge ask and cry, I guess, if you will, if – you know, people wanting to get their newly issued. We never stopped doing the renewal CCWs.
Right.
But getting their new renewals. So we're back to doing fingerprints by appointment, because we want to keep people spaced out and have an ability to wipe down everything and disinfect in between appointments. But we're back to doing that. So that's a positive. I know that was a big demand, request, call for help, all the above. So...
Well, when you,
I'm glad to say that we're able to do that.
When you set a new record for
sales, I saw that.
For sales of firearms, and the last month was the largest in history that they've been keeping records.
Wow.
And the month before that was the largest before, you know, in the history of doing it. So it may just blew them away.
Yeah.
As far as people buying guns and being able to think that they've got to be able to protect themselves. And part of it was COVID-19, of course, because the... maybe at the end it was fear of riots or whatever, but
people are starting to believe
that they, you know, we need to be able to take care of ourselves. You know, the police aren't going to be there,
right? And excuse me, and we can't be everywhere. And again, we've covered this on the show. I've made my belief on Second Amendment known, just as former Sheriff Pasenko. That is a right that we are given that we should exercise. And the benefit to the CCW instruction, as you know, Carl, you teach it,
yeah,
is you go through that class and we're teaching people the right way to carry, the laws, how to be appropriate. One of the things I taught the classes for many years, and I would tell the students, this doesn't put an S on your chest. This doesn't make you an enforcer. This is, again, please be the eyes and ears of law enforcement.
Be a witness,
and that is the last resort to protect you, your family, your loved ones, whoever it might be. But it's an important component, and I embrace it, and will continue to do that. And I'm excited that we're able to start doing the fingerprints again. We went down and worked with our record staff and talked to them, because I want them to be able to feel safe. I don't want them to think I'm compromising their safety to push this ability for people to get fingerprinted. They were on board with it. They said, yeah, it's time. That was one of the person's comments. It's time that we start doing this again.
It is.
You know, our office, our office supports it. So that's a positive.
There are a number of cases in front of the Supreme Court, like 7 cases, about being able to carry outside the home.
Like open carry or
no, conceal carry. Oh, that do away with the must be a need. You must show a need to carry. And you know,
I don't think that. I mean,
I know we don't do that up here,
right?
That, but you could if you wanted to, Sheriff. You could say, "Show me why you need this," and you could make those restrictions so hard
Wow.
That nobody could get it.
I'd hope that would never come to fruition. There shouldn't be a need. It's a right. And
well, that's what they're looking at the Supreme Court. That it is a right to be able to carry outside, to go through a, like we do here. You go through a background check, you get trained so many hours, and then you're able to carry.
Right.
And the other people, you're scared about people that are carrying. We've got 11,000 people carrying in Shasta County. When's the last time you arrested, did you even remember anybody being arrested for a weapons offense that had a CCW?
Yeah, we try, and occasionally we'll get a report of somebody who may not be carrying appropriately. They're at the grocery store and they don't have it, the shirt covering right, or they reach to the top shelf and it exposes their firearm. Well, and we get that kind of stuff. And we might, if we know who the person is, we'll call them and remind them, hey, this is a concealed carry permit. You have to be responsible because we don't want to cause anybody to be fearful. But is there those out there that do see that that concerns them? But for the most part, for 11,000 people in Shasta County that have their permits each and every day, I say it a lot. I'm going to say it again. We have a responsible, good community here in Shasta. So,
and moving forward, we got about 5 minutes here, and I'm really glad you took time to come here because I think that you really needed to address this thing about this misconception that the sheriff invited the militia in. It never happened. You knew about it because they called.
Yeah.
But it's not up to you to tell people you don't have the right to assemble. I mean, that's the last thing.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And when these groups want to come and if they contact our office, my message is the same. Please be responsible. Please be compassionate of others. Please don't be peaceful. Don't be out breaking law. We don't need vigilante justice out there. That is not what we need in Shasta County. You have a very professional sheriff's office. You have two very professional police departments with great leadership and all. And so the men and women here in Shasta County are very capable. But at times we do need eyes and ears. So that would be my call to action is if you're out there, if you're coming to these protests, if you participate, be peaceful. If you think that you need to be there to support law enforcement, we appreciate your support. And I ask that you be in our eyes and ears and do not get involved in taking any kind of personal action or vigilant action. Obviously, if you have to defend yourself or whatever that reason is, but don't be out proactively.
That's not a vigilante if you protect yourself because your life's in danger, by the way, when people say, oh, it's vigilant. No.
You're exactly right.
If I have a CCW, which I do, I don't think of myself. People say, well, you can go out and arrest people. No. No, I can't. That's the last thing I want to do.
Right.
Because I'm not, I'm not going to do that.
Yep.
I am not going to do that. There's other people that can do that.
Even off duty, if I see something, I call. I call. I don't want to. You don't have all the tools.
Here, honey.
You don't have the belt. You don't have the radio.
Yeah. Here, honey, hold my coat here.
Right.
Getting into the fight. Yeah. Okay.
So, thanks, Carl. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Well, I think we needed to clear that up as soon as we could. And again, the reporter was getting this information from people that were there. And a lot of times when you have at the lower levels of groups, and militias are organized, what they hear or what they hear is totally different than it is two levels above. But the idea was that you're inviting armed groups of people to be here for that is you put to rest here that it never happened.
Thank you.
You bet.
And have a great weekend. Be safe, everyone. And
it's going to be raining again. What is this?
Is it?
Yeah. It's supposed to be raining on tomorrow. When we come back after the break, we're going to have Congressman LaMalfa on. And you know what? I can't wait to hear what Doug LaMalfa says about what's going on in Washington, D.C. They had a six-week vacation away because Nancy didn't want to have everybody there. And now they're back, and I guess the National Guard and 82nd Airborne's coming into D.C. I mean, I've heard all these things. But I think Trump also went back and said he's rethought this thing about bringing troops. But let me tell you, there have been times since I was in the military that we used Marines to quell disturbances. in this country.
Yep.
It's not the first time it's happened. It wasn't like Trump came up with it by himself. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages. It's Friday the 5th, 8 o'clock in the morning.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. President Trump says we're at the start of a long period of economic growth, pointing to the newly released May employment report as evidence of that. 2.5 million jobs added last month, an unemployment rate falling to 13.3%, and the president predicts that 2021 will be one of the best years ever for the U.S. economy.
The only thing that can stop us is bad policy. Frankly, left-wing, bad policy of raising taxes and Green New Deals and all of the things that you have been writing about long and hard that will stop it like you wouldn't believe. And frankly, it's holding it back.
Mr. Trump at a White House news conference moments ago. Wall Street is pumped up with a powerful rally underway. Right now, the Dow is up more than 3%. The nation's top prosecutor says a witch's brew of extremists has infiltrated peaceful protests over the death of George Floyd. Attorney General William Barr says agitators have been engaging in domestic terrorism.
We have evidence that Antifa and other similar extremist groups, as well as actors of a variety of different political persuasions, have been involved in instigating and participating in the violent activity. And we are also seeing foreign actors playing all sides to exacerbate the violence.
Demonstrations morphing into rioting have seen police officers shot, beaten, or run down. New York's governor among those condemning the actions of some police officers in Buffalo. Video shows them appearing to shove a 75-year-old man who falls and hits his head. And checking Wall Street right now, the Dow up 826 points. The S&P 500 index ahead 78. The NASDAQ Composite Index up 178 points for a gain of almost 2%. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
An EU-affiliated agency keeps an eye on the planet's temperature, says it's getting hotter.
Copernicus is funded by the European Commission and informed by millions of temperature readings worldwide. It concludes that May was 0.63 degrees warmer than the long-term average. Readings most above average were in Alaska, Antarctica, and Siberia, which has suffered huge wildfires. The results worry scientists monitoring long-term temperatures, but don't surprise them. The real surprise recently was in the UK, when an extreme wet February somersaulted to a record sunny May. This was not predicted at all.
That's the BBC's Roger Harabin. Factory orders in Germany plunging even more than expected in April, underlining the effect of the coronavirus on Europe's largest economy. The economy ministry says industrial orders plunged by 25.8%. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The NHL continues preparing plans for a return to the ice.
The National Hockey League has announced that every playoff series will be a best-of-seven format after the initial qualifying round, which will be best-of-five, and teams will be reseeded throughout the tournament if the league is able to return with its 2014 plan later this summer. The NHL has not announced the timeline for the resumption of games. Players preferred reseeding throughout the playoffs as a means of fairness, though the league likes the brackets that have been in place since 2014. The top four teams in the Eastern and Western Conferences will play separate round-robin tournaments to determine seeding. I'm Tom Merriam.
Google says state-backed hackers have targeted the campaigns of both President Trump and former Vice President Biden, though it sees no evidence that the phishing attempts were successful. Such attempts typically involve forged emails with links designed to harvest passwords or infect devices with malware. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Yeah, we're celebrating over 10 years on the air. And one of the reasons we have is this guy sitting behind at the controls, Jared. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Hey, what's the weather look like for this weekend?
It is currently 76 degrees. Today's going to be sunny with a high of 88, a low of 57. Saturday, we have a slight chance of thunderstorms with a high of 73, a low of 48. On Sunday, we have a slight chance of showers during the day with a high of 71, a low of 48. And on Monday, it's going to be sunny with a high of 80 and a low of 54.
Okay. Weather reports are brought to you by our friends down at Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business that has won state-level awards for hiring veterans. They do a lot for our community and went out a few weeks ago and fed all of the VA clinic people, brought in pizzas. And three different days, three different locations. That's just some of the things that Shasta Gas Propane does. I also have discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Hey, the news was brought to us by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, your health, your choice at Shasta Regional Medical Center. I love our chat room. If you haven't gone into our chat room, please just go to kcnr1460.com. And, chat room, and you just hit open, and it's not hard to get in there. We're not asking for photos of you, photos of your children, scars, anything. You can use your name. You can use a different name. It doesn't make any difference. The only rule we have is no profanity, no attacking people, calling people names. And if you do, you apologize, which just happened in there. When somebody said, I overspoke. I'm sorry. But it's interesting, and to see the different things that are happening. COVID-19 in the shutdown, I think, and I'm just speaking for Shasta County now, I can't speak for California, we reached a point here that people have said, okay, we've done this, we've separated, we shut down our businesses, and now we're opening our businesses back up. Now, some businesses have got rules, you know, have half the people, or you can't even open up some businesses now, like movies and all this. I think we reached a point that we have 42 cases in Shasta County. We had a 2,000-person rodeo. That, to me, is kind of an experiment. That's an experiment with lives, but it seems like we had nobody come up from that. And then you can that's because those people didn't get tested. Well, I have a feeling, though, if you get sick, you're going to go see the doctor, and they're going to test you and say, hey, you've got it. So, and then we just had, now, it's too early to tell because it just happened Tuesday. We had a whole lot of people together. I did see a lot of masks, and I'm not sure if the masks were because of COVID or they just didn't want to be identified. But, I mean, they were there. They were exchanging. They were rubbing up against each other, bumping into each other. People were shouting. And, so it'll be interesting to see if there's been an explosion of COVID-19 after that. I don't think so. I mean, I can't predict the future, but I don't think so. I think we got to really take a good look at Shasta County Board of Supervisors, take a look at what's going on around us, and then let's just do it. You are kind of doing it in the sense of you're not enforcing any of the regulations. You're not going to give citations. So why not just open it up and stop playing the game, unless it's, you know, you're afraid that Governor Newsom will say, well, you're not playing by my rules, which I'm not even sure his rules are viable anymore. Churches opening up where you can have, you know, you can go into big box stores and have a couple hundred people in there, but you can't have a church with a couple hundred people in there. It makes no sense to me, and I don't think it makes sense to a lot of people at this point. Yeah, at the beginning, we'll play by your rules because this is new. This could be horrible. This could decimate us. But now, I think we have to start, you know, being more proactive. And for a question in here is, how can the stock market be 5,000 points higher than it was when Trump came in after all of this? I think because people are looking at the unemployment numbers that you're starting to drop. I think when the businesses are opening up, people are going to go back to work. I think that the no matter what the mainstream media does, ignoring positive things and hammering on the negative, that people are starting to, yeah, we're starting opening up businesses. People are starting to come back to work. We're starting to see the supply line come back in. They're starting to see the price of oil is going back up again, which helps. You know, of course, we don't like to stay at $2 a gallon or even better, $1 a gallon, but that's not going to happen. You know, and you have to look at also the different parts of our country where the most of the violence has been is the same places that the COVID-19 has been the strongest. And, you know, those large cities where people are piled on top of each other and then after being locked up, if they weren't true locked up, you know, quote, shelter in place, this is one of the problems. So when you see that, when you come to a county like ours, and people get together and protest and yell and shout at each other, and people from other places come in, but there's still no violence. It tells you about we have an underlying, we have a rock of stability here. As my brother-in-law says, you guys are in a bubble of common sense up here. And a lot of times we don't agree with that. But then again, he's from Sacramento, and he deals with a lot of the stuff that goes on down there. He says, do you realize how good you have it up here? And we say, oh, yeah. Yeah, we have our problems, but they're minor compared to what other things happen. And last Tuesday, as Jimmy says, is what is everybody getting so excited about? It was peaceful. Oh, yeah, some people had guns in their car. Okay. Were they used? No. Was there surges against each side? Were there rocks being thrown? Were there frozen water bottles being thrown? Any of this. There may have been an isolated incident, but as far as the whole, if you look at the whole enchilada, everything worked. And there'll be more of these. There'll be some more protest. But they'll be just like our last one. They're going to be peaceful. People out there to say that some things need to be changed. Some things need to be looked at. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers. Home Helpers. What can I say about Sharon Clark that I haven't said before? Except that her people are the types of people that you would invite into your house. You don't have to have any type of worry or concern that they're not going to take care of your loved one or you and treat you well, do what they're supposed to do, do it efficiently, professionally, and friendly. All of this from Home Helpers. You need to learn more. Either give them a call at 226-8350 if you've got somebody that needs help, whether it's a couple hours a day or all day. Talk to Sharon Clark. Learn more at readyhomehelpers.com. We'll be right back. Okay, you're on. You're live with Carl and Linda.
All right.
Oh, Linda's not here, but you're on with me.
On with Carl. Okay, I was on my own break there. So.
Well, you called right at the end of this one part. I didn't know. And Jared caught me. He says, "Congressman's on." Oh, well, we better bring him on then. Hey, are you surrounded by National Guardsmen or the 82nd Airborne?
No, I'm surrounded by my car right now.
Oh, okay. Congressman, what is your thoughts about what's happening in our country right now?
Well, I think there's a certain cross-section of folks that are pretty appalled, pretty hurt, pretty angry, and I think there's another cross-section that are taking advantage of this to looking at this as an opportunity to throw off the core values of what this country's about. So, yeah. And then we could talk about this issue with George Floyd. I was first talking about the virus, right?
Right.
Well, not really, but either one can be. Either one of those are grave situations on a lot of people's minds, and both of them are being taken advantage of by those that tear down the country. So, I mean, it takes some diligence to keep separate. Keep separate what the concerns are, what we ought to be doing about them, and also keeping a wary eye of those that are trying to manipulate it. So, you know, with the situation with George Floyd, you know, we were all horrified by what we saw there. And it was unbelievable to me to watch that one officer who just so dispassionately and without even any attention to what's going on there, continue to do what he did for, as we know, 8 minutes and 46 seconds. That man was subdued. He was under arrest. He was corralled, and you know it should have been a normal arrest for a normal alleged accusation, whatever. So I do not understand how this guy could do that. What was in his mind? What had taken possession of his mind? And then his other three colleagues who were just watching, like, you know, they should have been like, "Hey, you know, buddy, we've done enough here. Let's put him in the car, or if the car isn't working, then get the paddy wagon or whatever it takes." You know, but so I, for the life of me, can't understand what the number one officer was doing and what his three colleagues were doing, not doing to rectify that. So, you know, people are watching. You know, we heard the video, the audio, the video of it. And it's like, hey, man, you got to let this guy up, you know. So we saw the pre-video where he'd already been pulled out of a car and sat down along the wall of the building there. And then so it's inexplicable. So now let's go to the other side of the coin. This isn't all cops, you know.
No, it's
and
not.
We hear this time and time again. And I imagine cops get tired of hearing it, too, from that angle, saying not all cops are bad. Vast majority of cops are doing their job. They're just like us. They're doing their job, only they have a higher calling of what they have to answer to and what their wives and their spouses have to think about when they go out that door every day or every night, you know? So I hate to even say that because I don't want to impugn the 99.9% of cops. It's just you got a bad apple in every barrel. But, you know, we keep saying that for the black community, I think, you know, we have to listen harder because they whether it's, you know, whether it's ingrained, some of it is being overplayed by politicians and media and drilling that into people, but there seems to be just a deep hurt here that they can't get a square, fair shot at things. And so we got to figure that out. That means, you know, with the very first part of it where they meet up with law enforcement, we have to figure out how to improve the system without at the same time insulting our law enforcement and saying, hey, everybody thinks you're doing a bad job, because they're not. You know, look at the line they have to straddle just with these riots here, you know. The moment they do something like, oh, police brutality, and if they don't do something, then they're not doing their job, and I'm just letting things go. You know, when do they apply force in order to make something happen? You see the controversy over when do we call in the National Guard? Or everybody's trying to say, you know, Trump's militarizing it. Like, well, You know, and when the cops are overwhelmed, what are you supposed to do? Stand by and watch the burning? So, you know, Carl, I mean, I think everybody's feeling probably pretty similar weights and counterweights to this whole thing like that, of what I just tried to say here for the last minute and a half. So.
Well, people forget that in during the riots in the early 90s that forces were called in. A battalion of Marines were called up from Camp Pendleton to go to L.A., so it's not the first time this has happened to help quell what was going on up there. One of our units went up and to just back up the police and as the National Guard units came in. So it's not the first time. This is not a this is not like, oh, it just started with Trump. But the bottom line is, I think you're absolutely right. You know, if you don't, if it's, you know, it's perspective. If you don't think you're going to have a fair shake, then you're not going to have a fair shake, because that's your perspective. So how do you change that, or can you change that? And does it change it?
No, that's where you know, you can see. I don't know. It's just, you know, all mankind is prone to the same sin, right? That's why, for those of us that are, you know, follow our religion, mine happens to be the Christian one, you know, that I believe in, that's what helps to civilize us, to bring us back on center, because it's a power higher than any man-made law or man-made edict. And so, you know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? So we're all prone to this stuff. So we are, whether it's our, you know, our religious background and beliefs, as well as a civil society that has laws, that's what helps keep us on center here. And so right now the lawlessness we're seeing is promoting more and more chaos. And we are not a society without basic rules. And the bottom line is, everybody has to feel like they're being applied equally, a fair shot. This country's tried very, very hard to have that, where, you know, you have legal representation, whether you can afford it or not. You have a right, your rights in court, your rights in front of a jury, all those things, extremely important. So, you know, but, I mean, those are the basics we have to get back to, and then have everybody not only feel that they're applied equally, but in practice that they are. And, you know, we have a checkered past as a country, but again, we're an imperfect people. It was the abolishment of slavery in 1860s, the vote for everybody in the 19, and the Civil Rights Act in the 60s. By the way, these are strongly supported by Republicans in all those phases, and less so by Democrats at the time. So when you start turning this political, then that path needs to be brought out too, when they want to start making it about the political nonsense, which I don't.
You know, the last time we talked, changing the subject somewhat, the last time we talked last month, we were in the middle of this, or, you know, the COVID-19. Things have changed a lot since then. In Shasta County, we have, you know, in your district, in Shasta County, MoDoc, Trinity, we have low cases. We have nobody in the hospitals, and yet we're still trying to get places opened up here. And it's been remarkable over the last week watching how our businesses have opened up. Should there be different rules, and you know, for our part of the area, that we should be able to open up sooner than L.A. and San Diego, San Francisco, so we can get going again? I mean, churches, movies, all of this.
You know, I think we agree that we do need to have a different set of criteria than a large city. We have an arbitrary set right now, in that we're in the state of California. We were in the state of Jefferson, or somehow we're starting part of the state of Idaho or something, we'd be in a different spot right now. You know, I would hesitate to say Oregon, because they have just as crazy of a governor up there who wants to keep things cinched down. Rural needs are different than urban needs, and that's ever since I've been in this whole ballgame of elected office. You keep having to battle against that. So, you know, our county, Modoc County, one of our neighboring counties here in this district, is still at zero known infections. So, the survival rate is much better than the original concern, or turned into hype, turned into misinformation by Dr. Ferguson from Imperial College in England. You know, so completely different than that. Dr. Fauci, who I respect, I think, you know, he's a smart guy and all that, but his game has changed several times. Yesterday I saw a piece where he thinks that, well, we can't completely rely on the idea of the vaccine, because they might only be effective for 3 to 6 months. Like, well, you know, fill in your expletive here. Why are we doing all this? Because, you know, they're saying, you know, we hear Pelosi and the top Democrats seem to be all on a particular bent that we have to have, if I've heard it once, you know, testing, and then vaccines, and then we can open up the country. Well, not everyone's going to take a vaccine. Not every vaccine that comes forward is going to be effective. And if even Dr. Fauci says vaccines might only be effective for 3 to 6 months, then you know what? We're thinking completely wrong. Completely wrongly about how we're going to do this, because you know what, we're going to have to. You can't live in a risk-free society, a risk-free world. We can't live in a bubble. It's just not practical, and so you have to refocus. What is the risk, and how do you manage that? And you're coming back to the people that are most vulnerable in this situation, which really should have been the focus after the first 2 to 4 weeks.
I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to take a quick break here, and it will be quick, and come back. You know, the Senate is meeting on this crossfire hurricane fiasco, and there, I think Rosenstein has already said he didn't look at the FISA warrants as close as he should have. What kind of ramifications do you think this is going to have? I mean, is this going to go on for another 3 years about, you know, what happened to you know, the general, what happened on the Trump investigation, everything with the Senate investigating this. Just your thoughts on that. And we're going to be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebaugh, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. It is 8:29 in the morning here on the 5th of June, 72 degrees out there. We'll be right back.
For the safety of our employees and our customers, we have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing, and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill. Featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Elective surgeries are going full bore back at Shasta Regional Medical Center, and they're rated one of the top in the nation when it comes to preventative care, surgical complications, heart failure, stroke, and hip and knee replacement. This and so much more at Shasta Regional Medical Center. It is your health. It is your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. We have on the phone with us Congressman Doug Maffa. And Congressman, I asked before we on the break about all this is going on in the Senate with the investigations on FISA, crossed by a hurricane and all that. What are you hearing about that?
Well, you know, we're following the same news information, but also have the luxury of having a friendship and as a colleague, Devin Nunes. And so we get those briefings on occasion when we're back in D.C. looking like we're doing work.
Wait a minute. I want to follow that one up, too. But what does Nunes say about this? Is this going to come back? Is this whole thing that happened going to come crashing down?
You know, it looks really bad for what these guys have been covering up with Strzok and McCabe and, you know, the whole list of characters there. And I can't believe they're that stupid that think they were I guess they were that sure that Hillary Clinton would win and it would all be kept brushed under the rug. But kind of the thought you had before the break was how long will this go on? And I believe with the Senate, they're much more resolution. We've already done this for 3.5 years, basically coming from the other side with all the accusations of collusion and, you know, election manipulation. That's all been coming from the Democrats against Trump. And when you finally go to the well there, there's basically nothing. I mean, they got which guy did they finally get on some tax evasion stuff? You know, it's been an empty well. Everything that they've accused Trump of is the stuff that they seem to have done themselves. And even the stuff Trump says about Biden, you know, they first laughed at him over, you know, was he getting wiretapped or spied upon? Like, well, you know, the more you dig, the more it looks like that there's credence to that. So I think bottom line, the Senate would like to move on this and get to a position where they can expose it and get the indictments that are necessary and they'll have the legal process run by Attorney General Barr. And then there's also the thought that this administration only has, you know, 7 months left of this term. Should the election go wacky and somehow Biden and Kamala Harris or whoever he picks in his vice president sweepstakes, should that crew somehow win, then this is all over with and it's back to the previous business of getting even. So I think a fairly fast resolution to it, but with process. You know, they can't hurry it because the media firestorm for anything done imperfectly will be just dressed up as you know, just get evenism or politics. So they got to have it ironclad. That's why I think AG Barr and his special prosecutor Durham have been very methodical about it.
Okay. Now, you did say something that is supposedly working. I know that you all passed a $3 trillion package to fund everything, including, you know, Red Ant studies. But what other things are going on that you all that you believe have been, you know, like, helpful for our country? Congressman? Hello?
I read you.
Okay. Oh, you were just thinking about it, or what?
No. There's a little dead zone. I was just driving through
here.
So you talked about the $3 trillion.
I said, you know, y'all,
I didn't hear the rest.
Well, you had said, you know, supposedly working or something that, you know, like that in an earlier sentence. And I know you've passed that $3 trillion package that's going to help solve the whole world. But are you all working on anything else that's going to work for everybody and it's not going to be a $3 trillion package?
Well, you know, the House passed one. They called it the HEROES Act, which is laughable. That was the Pelosi special there. It had basically zip as far as Republican input. So the House passed it the other day on a straight party line vote. The Senate, you know, Mitch McConnell told ahead of time, like, look, we're going to take a little more measured approach to this. Because we're just adding to the national debt with all this, right? And so it is a time of emergency, or, you know, to what degree we'll figure out the future as this virus situation becomes more clear and more clear that it wasn't as big as originally hyped, and that the shutdown of the country is much more expensive and much less necessary to the extent. It's kind of, you know, Carl, kind of like the public safety power shutoffs we had last year, they called it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we understand, you know, that there's a reason for them. But they were much farther and wider than they really ended up needing to be. Now, did the power companies have the ability to tailor to the area of the grid they really had to? They have to shut off a bigger area and cast a bigger net. That's, you know, this year they promise it's going to be different. It will be more focused on those shutdowns if they have to do them smaller, less time. That's kind of how this virus thing is. They threw the biggest possible net over everything in our society, and we find out that it didn't need to be as far and as wide. We have to find it out the hard way with the abundance of caution beginning, but we have to learn quicker because, you know, our economy needs to be open. So that all said, yeah, $3 trillion so far. The new package that the Pelosi House wanted to do was another $3 trillion with a whole – it's just a big grab bag of a lot of things that – had no business being in there. They weren't focused on how we're going to, you know, pick up the pieces from this virus and the shutdown of our economy. So, you know, stuff we can agree on, which is some help for some of our economic production that isn't surviving well, and then some help for local governments that, you know, we're seeing our counties and such, they're not seeing the sales tax they normally would, and our, you know, our tourism. I mean, we have folks right here in Shasta County that are just trying to get things open again. And there's the thing is, Carl, people are smart. They see what it takes to have a, you know, this separation needed to have people in the same room, whether, you know, it's in your barber chair like your friends you advertise with, Man's Last Stronghold, I think you call it.
Yeah, Cypress Square Barbershop. I put it on Facebook because this is, I mean, they've got a 10-page document they have to follow, you know. And, I mean, you feel safer there than you do going into the hospital.
Or the wide-open big box store, you know,
yeah.
Any of that, you know. Or you're a lot safer than you are in a riot, right? So, you know, so the Mitch McConnell told the House, like, look, we're not just going to keep filling the burner with money. We're trying to have a little more reasonable approach. So with the $3 trillion package known as the HEROES Act, the Senate's going to be looking at maybe melding that into something more like $1 trillion. It might take $1.5 trillion to get something to pass. But look for it to be helping local government. And what we're working on, I'm working on a bill, an amendment with some of my colleagues, is that some of our rural counties are just got jammed on this thing. You know, if you're smaller than, I think, 500,000 on it as a city or county, then the state has kept control of the money. You have to go beg the Gavin Newsom in California, and a bunch of states have had this happen. You know, the first bill, the federal government was writing checks directly to entities that were, if I remember right, 500,000 or larger in population. They're getting direct checks, and then the smaller stuff, you know, the state was getting a lump sum to, you know, hand out to the smaller entities. So supposedly that would be more efficient or more focused and direct, but we're finding out the state's sitting on it. Then in California, that portion that was supposed to go for the other ones, Newsom has decided to cut that in half and give half of that again to the large urban areas, and the small ones are going to get 50% of what the Fed provided. So in the next go-round, we're going to have stronger definition of that because I guess it wasn't anticipated the governors and other entities of a lot of these states were going to be that brazen about not putting it out or just flat taking it back. And we're going to see what measures we can have to and the money's already been sent to California that Gavin is trying to now split down. Can we just say, well, we're just going to take something else from another fund and backfill what was taken. So, you know, that's what we're looking at in another go-around. But there's no time certain on when the Senate's going to want to meld the House bill that came over because, you know, Mitch's deal is like, well, how's the money already that we're doing in the pipeline? We're just not going to just keep, you know, shoveling it in like coal into a burner here. So when it looks like, you know, we there's a lot of help for hospitals last time. And there was some redefinition to help the timelines of when small businesses would have to if they're required to pay back loans instead of an 8-week cycle, which was running out real fast, to a 24-week cycle. So we're trying to be attentive to what the certainly the imperfections of the first bill were, which, you know, had to be passed in a hurry, you know, midnight legislation.
Oh, absolutely. The PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, is running out quick. And some businesses who got the money haven't even been able to open up yet. And having to use all that money in that quick period of time is, or you have to start paying for it, that needs to be extended. I heard that that was going to be extended out to 24 weeks.
From eight weeks to 24 weeks.
Has that passed?
That's working its way through, yes, sir.
So okay.
It'll be very helpful. And again, it's a matter of just paying attention to what's going on, because, you know, here's what was asked in the beginning, that, you know, the priority was felt that we shouldn't getting paid during the virus because they couldn't go to work. Okay. That's, you know, I guess you're paying people not to go to work, which is a little dangerous. But, you know, bottom line, people still have things they need to meet. So we add that to our national debt, and then we kicked it out the door. So we tell the businesses, keep paying your people their pay, and we will backfill you, because it's easier to do it that way at that level with, you know, less actual.
Well, I tell you what, it saved a lot of businesses. It saved a lot of businesses around here. We have a caller. Christian, thank you for waiting. Do you have a question for Congressman LaMalfa?
Yep.
What's your question? Christian, you're live.
Yes, sir. Two quick questions, and I'll take my answers on the air. Number one, last Monday, President Trump got up after tweeting, proceeded to call President Vladimir Putin over in Russia, communist Russia, then proceeded to get on the phone and yell at the governors for not using extreme force against protesters, then used federal troops to clear a peaceful demonstration so he could go do a photo op. So are you in favor of utilizing the Incursion Act, number one? Number two, how do you feel about using non-governmental militias, often with white nationalist ties, as an augment to taxpayer-funded police programming? And quick number three, are you going to be able to present Doug LaMalfa's opposition on your radio show due to the fact this is 2020 campaign season? Thank you. I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay. Did you hear that, Congressman?
Yeah, I think I caught it there. So basically,
the third question's mine. I can answer the third question.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, the third question is when you have the opposition. Yes, anytime. Christian, I welcome you on the show. I welcome any opposition, any opposing comments. Always have a voice here. I've gone out. I've asked other people to come in and speak. A lot of people, for one reason or another, they get timid about coming on the radio. It's real friendly here. I mean, coffee, donuts, the whole thing. Yes, we thoroughly want other voices on here so we can present. Our community isn't just all one voice. We have a large variety of thoughts and opinions. And so, yes, other opinions always welcomed here, always treated with the utmost respect. Okay. Congressman, the question about...
Yeah, that's your show. So let me address the ones as I can recall them here.
Okay.
I think there was a question about militia. So... We don't call upon private militia, whatever form you want to call them, to come in and do the job that our law enforcement, or in cases where it's needed, our National Guard come in to help, you know. And I think our sheriff here in Shasta County, Magrini, is there's people trying to circulate a rumor that he was somehow enlisting that too, which isn't the case, you know. I mean, people are going to show up to things, and when you're trying to control a big situation, you have to parse out what it is you need to control or ensure doesn't spin out of control. So I think it's unfounded for the sheriff to be accused of that sort of stuff.
He was just on before you were, Congressman, and he addressed that whole issue.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. He's a good guy, and he doesn't need that stuff in his life. So as far as the president, you know, we hear a lot about peaceful protesters, but the night before they nearly burned down the church that was just up from the White House. And so it was a little heightened level of security there. The president decided to go show support for that church and the concept of the church community out there. So they decided to go from the White House over there and highlight that. And so had they been peaceful protesters there, they would have gladly stood aside, as they were asked to three different occasions, to stand aside so they could have the security detail for the president and others to come over and make that walk. They'll do any time they want, right? And so for people in the media, the irresponsible media, to spin this into the lies there is about tear gas and rubber bullets and all this crap, well, sorry, that's spin, because you got a bunch of people against the president. So if you want to compare photo ops, there's one out there of Bill Clinton holding the Bible in a very similar position in front of, whether it was that church or another one, you know, whatever. So I don't buy into that nonsense. Peaceful protesters would know, if I was out there and I was, let's say, protesting Obama, you know, I would stand aside while the security detail could move through and do what they needed to do, because the president's business is important, no matter who that president is. So a lot of lies, a lot of nonsense surrounded about that trip over to the church, which, you know, I think took a little bit of courage for the president. It wasn't merely a photo op. Whatever the president does always needs to be done in the guise of advancing, you know, the cause for the country. And, Carl, I can't remember the first part of that.
No, I think that hit most of it. Oh, he called Putin and it said, called Putin, and then he called the governors and said that you need to get tougher with the rioters.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me here, but in general, the head of one state needs to be able to be in conversation with another. So whether the president's talking to Putin or whether he's talking to, you know, Boris Johnson of England, or he's over there even trying to make something happen with Kim Jong-un, which I think is fairly remarkable, then, you know, they need to talk. The heads of state need to talk. Just like with Ukraine, but people want to make it into conspiracies and nonsense and all that, they can have a heyday at that. I'm not going to worry about it.
The upcoming election, one of the questions we had in the chat room was, are you concerned about Joe Biden and his abilities to lead the country if he was elected?
Am I concerned about Biden?
Yeah, I mean, not just to him winning, but...
I would be concerned about him governing, because I think someone else is going to be doing it for him. And so if he wants to instill confidence in middle ground voters, then he shouldn't be choosing a vice president just on some funny baloney criteria. I mean, he needs to pick somebody that seems qualified instead of just meets a couple of arbitrary you know, criteria. It's kind of crazy what this process is, but because Joe doesn't look all that stable himself, so, you know, we all know President Trump isn't a perfect man, but you know, there has to be a reason why you vote for somebody, you know.
We have 8 minutes left, Congressman. What are things that you want your constituents to know? Things that are happening that impact on us.
Well, I mean, right now we're trying to still battle through important things like our economy and our productivity here in Northern California, such as keeping the water on to the growers up in the Klamath Basin. You know, we have we had a peaceful protest and rally over that a week ago. I still got the dust on my boots over that. So, you know, that's extremely important, because we're going to see production drop dramatically if we don't keep the water turned on.
Well, guess what? Hello, Congressman.
Hi.
I had no idea you were coming in today.
Yeah, I'm in town, so I would have got here earlier, but last 7 minutes. So anyway, is it a little clearer now?
It is. It's a lot clearer.
So we got to keep the water on to the people in the Klamath Basin. This is unbelievable here. I'll go fast on it, but
that's fine.
They
we'll take a little bit longer.
They had their water shut off mid-season. Mm-hmm. They were promised 140,000 acre feet, and BOR, after some data that was provided by another entity, said we're going to have to cut that back to 80,000 feet, which is just above 50%. And they already have their crops in the ground. They've already planted the seeds, already used the fertilizer, they've already run the tractors and used some of the water. This is all because they're trying to preserve something called a sucker fish up in that lake. The lake has an excess above the action level over the sucker fish. Mm-hmm. The flaw in all this is that the farmers are the ones that owe the water going back over 100 years. That's what that was developed for. The Klamath Basin Project was developed for agriculture. So the water excess above whatever the natural lake level was before belongs to agriculture, and the federal government has been getting away for over 20 years of taking that water and either doing something with sucker fish, which haven't grown any new fish. All the fish in that lake basically have been deemed, or the population is seen as about 30 years old. They're not getting any new ones because of how they manage it. So,
okay.
So, I mean, there's that, and there's the Central Valley here, the water cut off to the Central Valley. We won't have an economy. We won't have the food that we're expected to have. And in around the world, the U.S. will probably be okay on food. We're not probably going to starve here after this virus thing and everything being shut down. We've already seen it at the stores where you run out of toilet paper, you're short of meat, short of a lot of stuff. We'll probably be okay in this country. But around the world, those countries that are marginal, they're on the bubble for having enough to eat, those are the ones that can really be hurting due to their own coronavirus and us not being able to export and help them.
Do you think it's easy to second guess now.
Sure.
And because when this thing first started, I mean, we were right into that here at the station in what we believed in shutting down everything. Are we at the point that we really need to take a step back and look at, it wasn't as bad as we thought. It's time to, let's get a little more aggressive about opening up.
Yes, we certainly need to. Now, we can do it thoughtfully. We saw Relassen County opened up, and then they had a little bit of a flare-up. And so their local decisions say, well, maybe we need to cinch it back down a little bit. So they did. So I'll respect that decision. But I also believe that our health officers are out there trying to pitch perfect games all the time, too. And so us as elected officials, we have to listen to our health officers, but we also have to listen to a broad spectrum of other input as well. And economy's part, and people say, well, all you guys care about is money. You just want to make money and take care of your cronies and all that nonsense. But there is an effect on people, too, not being able to go to work. Domestic violence goes up. We're hearing suicide numbers going up. It's already bad enough with veterans, 22 a day. What's that doing to the rest of our population when they're not allowed to do what it is they need to do? And then can we possibly have all these businesses bounce back a year from now or 2 years from now? What does our boarded up storefronts mean here in downtown Reading and downtown everywhere when, this was the arbitrariness of how it was applied? Big box stores still get to be, but the same product sold at a small mom and pop store can't be in business for that. I mean, a barber shop, they know what to do. They got the chairs separated by more than 6 feet. Not more than four people in the shop at one time. They could grind people in and out all day, clean up in between the stations. Everybody wear their mask, wear the gloves, blah, blah, blah. It's gotten pretty ridiculous. And Dr. Fauci doesn't even have a clear path for that, too. And I don't say that out of disrespect. I just say, look, this thing keeps morphing and changing. And every time we hear about it, the data gets narrower that, wow, it's not as bad as we thought. It still has to be taken serious. We still have vulnerable people out there. We know how to do that if we're just allowed to think. So the health officers are very aggressive because, their job is to have no loss of life. And, again, if you're on an operating table, yes, you want them to bat 1,000. But applied to the broad spectrum of our whole society, we can't bat perfectly because by then, the more you do one way, the more you do on shutdown, the more the harm is on the other side of the people that, as I mentioned, with mental health, with suicide, with those businesses, with an economy.
Domestic
and
violence.
China
domestic
is
violence.
Not sitting still right now. Our enemies around the world are not sitting still. They're still doing what they do. They're still out there getting ready to cause mayhem while our ships are sitting in port.
Let's go to another subject here. Governor Newsom has said we all have to vote by mail. I'm not crazy about that. Is this a I don't have a choice now. I can go to a big box store. I can go anywhere. But I'm going to have to vote by mail this year. What are your thoughts about this?
I don't think the Democrats' record on election security is stellar at all, especially in California. And so, you know, the first bill that Nancy Pelosi put over when they took the House majority a year and a half ago, you know, this two-year term, was a bill called H.R. 1 to manipulate elections and to do the types of things that make elections less secure. They aren't putting voter ID in there. They're not doing anything like that. They're doing things to have more and more same-day registration, more and more ballot harvesting by anybody come up and pound on your door and say, hey, where's your ballot? And that is not voter security. That can almost be voter harassment. So this all-mail thing, now... But Doug, what are you talking about? I've been voting by mail. I'm from a small area, and you know I'm from one too. I've been mail for several years because I live in a very small jurisdiction. But there's a reason for that. And for an absentee ballot, you know, some people request absentees. They're going to be out of town, or maybe they have a disability. It makes it harder to get out, and they don't want to mess with it. That's fine. What Gavin and the gang wants to do is send a ballot to every single household where they think they have a registered voter. And so, what do you see? We've seen it in the past. We've seen photos where you have stacks of ballots that might end up in an apartment building there that the landlord says, like, I've got all these ballots for people that don't even live here. Well, what if one of the, you know, reps from a party or another entity that likes to run around rounding these votes up was able to get a hold of those and just tailor make those to voters and nobody catches that much fraud? Maybe they catch a part of the fraud. Maybe they don't catch a big part of it. That's a big problem with that, sending a ballot to every single house where they haven't verified people live there or that they're even a verified voter, in order to voter ID to go with it, you know, that they have a signature to match the signature on. That's what they're supposed to have, but they don't always have that. And so it is a manipulation, I think, the voting process.
I think if voting rolls were expunged like they're supposed to be, I mean, you're finding places where there's a big swing.
Oh, Carl, you're trying to suppress voters now. You're trying to suppress voters.
I just think of a university. Let's just say like Chico State. Has, you know, thousands of people go in and out of that place, mm-hmm. you know, over a period of time. That do, have they pulled those people from the voter rolls or people that have died? I mean, you hear stories about my grandfather's voted 12 times. He's been dead 12 years.
You hear about an apartment with 25 voters in it and such like that. So, you know, oh, but you guys are just being dramatic. There isn't that much of it. Well, there shouldn't be any of it. They have time to purge the rolls. Every election cycle, and people make it into like, well, you're just trying to be against minorities. You're just trying to suppress votes. You Republicans are just trying to manipulate. Well, I think when you see H.R. 1 come to the House, you see Democrats are all about manipulating elections and not have them be sort of more secure. Voter ID does not discriminate against anybody. Anybody can get a free ID, and almost everybody has one because they have other things they have to do in life that require ID. Cashing checks and, you know, the whole litany. So back when you used to rent videos.
You had to show an ID to get your video.
Going into the airport, going into the courtroom, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. Congressman, final thoughts for people out there, or is something you really want people to know?
You know, we're having all of a sudden as tough a time as we had in quite a while as a nation here. We were riding a wave of great prosperity, great optimism.